Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 1. Good to see all of you here. Visitors, thank you for coming. For whatever reason, whether you're just passing through, whether you're visiting looking for a church, I'll tell you, we're just old-fashioned. We don't have any smoke screens or rock bands or anything like that to impress you with. We don't have any disco balls, or we just got an old King James Bible and old songs, songbook, and we can't worship God that way. We'll go to the house. Hallelujah. If you got to look like a halftime show at a Super Bowl football game to have church, and we'll just go to the house and go fishing. Hallelujah. Don't even know why I said all of that. Y'all just look like you needed it. Matthew chapter number 1. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Going to call his name Emmanuel. And what that means is God with us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, allowing us to be here. And I just pray if you'd bless our time together. Lord, these folks, they don't need to hear me. Lord, don't even, I just wish, Lord, that you'd do the preaching. Lord, you'd do the convicting, and you'd do the knocking on the heart's doors. And Lord, I'll just do whatever you tell me to do. You lay the words on my heart, and Lord, help me not to say something I don't need to say. And Lord, we want to be a help. We don't want to be a hurt. And I just pray that you'd help us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted is God with us. Something we need to remember, folks, being the Sunday before Christmas, it's not about you. It's not about me. But it is all about Him. And even before there was an us, before there was a me, in the beginning, God was already there. God, we call it Father time. Well, when God started this thing, it was baby time. Because when time started, it was just a baby in God's eyes. In the beginning, God was already there. Go back before the creation. Go back before Adam and Eve. Go back before the evolutionist Big Bang Theory. Go way back beyond that. And there you'll see Him. God was already there. He's never had a birthday. He's never had has anything ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He just wasn't sitting up there and said, hey, I got a good idea. He's God. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I was talking to an atheist the other day, and he was fussing because us Christians have all of the holiday. We have Christmas, we have Thanksgiving, we have Easter, and all the major holidays. He said, us atheists, we don't have any holidays. I said, oh yes, you do. You got a holiday dedicated to you and you only. He said, what is it? I said, April 1st. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. April Fool, Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Before there was a you, before there was a me, before there was this, there was God. all of His glory. It's all about Him. And in the beginning, God. And then the Bible says right here, God with us. You know, that's the way it started out, God with us. In the garden, Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the cool of the day. God was with them. They were in a perfect environment. Adam had the perfect wife. Eve had the perfect husband. They had the perfect food. They had the perfect environment. Everything was perfect until one day sin entered into the world. And God says, I no longer can be with you. Sin has separated man from God. And God says, I can't do this. Sin has entered the world. See you later. And all through the Old Testament, the message is, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. There's somebody that's coming. Somebody's coming. Because the whole essence of the Old Testament is to bring back God with us. And the only way that God could ever come to us ever again was to be in the form of a baby. And the only way that baby could be born into this world and bypass the sin that was passed on to us by our father.
Right.
My father, good man, he passed sin on to me. That's why I act the way I do. It's his fault. His daddy's fault. His dad's fault. His dad's fault. All the way back to Pawpaw Adam. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin into the world. I know what y'all think. You're thinking, well, Eve sinned first. She ought to be blamed for something. And I do agree. But God says sin's not passed down from the woman. Sin's passed down from the man. So how are you going to get God to this earth to be with us and bypass that sin that is transferred between father and baby? I tell you what, the Virgin Mary. This woman was chosen by God to house God. And when she gave birth to her firstborn son before Joseph and her came together, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. You say, is that important? Yes, it's important. Because if Jesus was born like you or I, He was born a sinner. And I got news for you. He's not a sinner. He's God.
Amen.
And then the angel says unto Mary and to Joseph, you're going to name Him Emmanuel. Which is being interpreted as God with us. So the very blood that flowed through Jesus' veins, the very blood was from heaven above. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Genesis 3:15 says, and behold, I put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. Even in Genesis 3:15, it said, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. And that seed of that woman is going to bruise the head of that serpent one day. And that serpent, all through the Old Testament, is trying to kill that seed of that woman. That's why Herod tried to kill all the little boy babies, 2 years and under. That's why Pharaoh in the Old Testament tried to kill all the little baby boys, 2 years and under, trying to get rid of that seed that was coming. My friend, you can't outsmart God. God's got a plan, God's got a purpose, and it will come true. Hallelujah. God with us. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's all about the blood.
Amen.
It's all about the blood. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You know how you're getting to heaven? You're getting to heaven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If anybody else would have died for you, it would have been sinful blood. But because God was with us and came this way, because He died on the cross, when He shed blood, He shed perfect, sinless blood.
All right.
What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There hadn't been a water tank ever made to wash anybody's sins away. But there is a fountain that has Jesus' blood, and His righteousness will wash all your sins away. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood. Hallelujah. God with us. How great it is to think about God coming to this earth as a baby. The most important event, one of the most important events of human history is God coming to this earth. Never will there be ever a battle, a more horrible battle fought to try to keep this baby from being born. Showed up out of nowhere into somewhere just for you and just for me. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Colossians 1:15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" You say, "Preacher, how did God get here?" Well, I got news for the Jehovah's Witnesses Thursday night listening. Jesus Christ is God. 100% man, 100% God. You say, how do you know? Philippians 2:6 says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. Jehovah God. He's God, He's always been God, always will be God. That's why He fell asleep in the bottom of a boat. And then when the storm came, He woke up and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves say, "We've heard that voice before at creation."
Amen.
And they said, "Boys, y'all better lay down. This is a voice winged. We better do this." Hallelujah. God. God with us. That's why He cried at Lazarus' funeral. Because He was 100% man. But then He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, come forth. Why? Because He's God. He cried because He was man. But He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And He came forth because He was God. God with us. God with us. And then, this is what I did. Preparing for this, but this is what I did. Went through all the Bible. I started with the Pauline epistles and I started looking. In Matthew 1:23, there's two words in the same verse. God and us. In the same verse. God with us. That's Christmas. God and us in the same verse. And then I did a little search there in my computer. I put God and us. God and us in the same verses. You would not believe how many verses of God and us is in the same verses. It's an amazing thing. You say, what happened next after God with us? I can tell you this. Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us.
Amen.
And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
God and us in the same birth. You say, God with us? Yeah, that's Christmas. Well, okay, He came with us. All right. One day, Trinity Baptist Church, sitting over there, listening to my daddy preach. Boy, he's a preaching. And then God stepped toward me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now don't get excited or nothing. I know it just happened to me. Maybe it hadn't happened to you. But I'm telling you what, when God steps towards you, you'll know it. God with us? Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Christmas story. Wonderful. But I'm telling you, hey, when He steps towards you, God commended His love toward us.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that He stepped toward me.
Yeah.
And not only that, but in Ephesians 2:4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He, God, loved us." Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. God and us in the same verse. Not only God with us, God toward us, God loved us. Say, so where did He love us at? He loved us right there at the cross. Where are you going to find a God like that? Muhammad didn't die for you. Buddha didn't die for you. He just died. He didn't die for you. He just died. Muhammad, he didn't die for you. He just died. Jesus died, buried, rose again the third day. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He stepped toward me and he said, why is he stepping toward me? Because he loved you. Why God with us? Why did he want to come down here? Because he wanted to step towards you. Why did he want to step toward me? Because he loved you. God and us in the same verse. But then I got to look at 1 John and 4 and 13. It says, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. Because he hath given us of his Spirit. And then the Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, God with us. Then God stepped toward me. Why? Because he loved me. God loved us. God toward us. God with us. And now he's telling me he's in us. You mean, you say, what kind of Christmas message is this? I'm just telling you, a little baby boy born in a manger. He's in you if you're saved. I hear people say this. I wish I'd give anything. I give anything. If Jesus could walk the streets of Dyersburg like he did the disciples, and boy, we could run into him at Walmart and talk with him. And
come on.
And I'm thinking, have you ever read your Bible? You got something better than that. He's in us. He goes to Walmart with you. It's not just a matter of just wanting to be. Hey, he lives in you. If you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, he's stepping probably. He may be stepping towards you today. Because he loves you. Because he wants to be in you. He lives right in there. I didn't have to pray to get it. I didn't have to hope and beg and pray and get down there to the altar and beg and plead. Lord, give me your Spirit. Give me Spirit. When I got saved, he moved in. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only is it with it. You say, why does God want to be in me? Why does he want to be in me? Just a hell-bound sinner. Why does God want to be in me? Number one, because ye are the light of the world. Why does God want to be in you? The only way I know to explain it is tell you one of my childhood stories. I remember one Christmas, I got a brand new watch. One of them shine watches. Shiny watches. Sitting in church, preacher's kid. We do what preacher's kids do. And I figured out as a young kid, Mark sitting over there by me, distracting me. Causing me not to pay attention. It's his fault, God. But I found out this watch would reflect light. In church. Now, young people, don't do as I do. Do as I say. You notice I don't watch to wear a watch. After that whooping I got, I ain't never going to wear a watch again. I've never had a watch on since. Had an older gentleman. Went to sleep every service just about. And I said, I'd call his name, but y'all would laugh. And I'd get that watch. I'd get that light. And I would catch his eye with it. Amen, Daddy. Preach. Catch that watch. Watch shine his eyes. You say, why are you telling us that funny? Because God is in you for a reason. So when you do go to Walmart, when you do go to the mall, when you do go to Kroger, when you do go everywhere else, you're supposed to be shining the light in other people's eyes. You're the light of the world. Why does God want to be in you? So light the world up. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid if a light's on. Some of you are saved and you ain't got your light on. How do we got the kid, little kid's song and he try to sing them again? Hide it under a bushel. Adults, hide it under a bushel. Ooh, I don't want them to know I go to Holy Hill. That's a cult down there. Ooh. Why does God want to be in you? He'd be light. Number two, because you're supposed to be salt. You're salt of the earth. You create thirst for anybody. There was an old man walking down the beach when he saw a young man out in the ocean. He's drowning. And so the young man was trying to grasp for his last breath and he's about to go under and the old man jumped in and brought him to shore. He started pumping the water out of his lungs and bringing life back into the young boy. After the old man knew he was okay, the old man started to walk away. And the young boy stopped him and said, Mister, appreciate you saving me. That's what the old man said. Listen to me real good. The old man said, boy, just make sure you're worth saving.
Come on.
You that are saved in the room right now, have you been worth saving? Woo! Every head bowed, every eye closed. That'd be a good time to take an altar call right there. Lord, thank you for saving me. Just make sure you've been worth saving. So what was he saying? That sounded ugly to say. Oh no. He said, make something out of your life, son. Be something. God's looking down here and says, let me use you. Let me do something with you. Let me use you as salt. Let me use you as light. Let me work in you and through you. Won't you be worth saving? I want to be worth saving. You say, what's worth not saving? Not doing a frazzling thing till you get to heaven? And Lord looking at you say, what have you done since you've been saved? Well, nothing. I'm just glad us four no more. I'm just glad to be here. Bible says grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did God move in? Because in John chapter 6, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And then he feeds the 5,000. And then he tells the disciples this. He said, take this, divide it amongst yourselves. They begin to break that bread off and pass it off to. Why is God in you? So you can be light, so you can be salt, so you can be pinch that bread off and pass it off, feed somebody. That's why God wants to be in you, so He can use you. Well, I thought Christmas was all about me and my gift. No, Christmas is about God with us. God stepping towards you because He loves you, because He wanted to be in you. And then 1 John 5 and 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. God in us, in the same verse, God hath given us eternal life. Say, preacher, you lose your salvation? I can't lose my salvation. I'm saved as long as He's saved. I'm going to live as long as God lives. I'm saved as long as He's saved. If you, hey, you say, well, what about losing salvation? He'll have to lose it first. He ain't never lost it. He ain't going to lose it. This is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. All right, Romans chapter 8. Look at this. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, of course, the famous one is verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Them love God. Them are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what predestination is all about, being conformed to His image. Got anything? They ain't got anything to do with salvation. It's got something to do with service. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay. Good verses. All right. What should we say then to these things? What are we, how are we going to respond to these things? What we just read. If God be... God and us in the same verse again. God with us. Then God stepped toward me. Then God loved me. Then God wants to be in me. Why? Because He wants to give me eternal life. Why? He wants to be for me. Whether you know it or not, God is for you. He's on your side. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to hurt your family. He's not trying to hurt your kids. He is for you. He loves you. You say, well, things are not going my way. Well, listen, when I was growing up in my house, my mom and dad, a bunch of stuff didn't go my way. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. You said, did they not love you? Yes, they love me. That don't mean you, everything goes your way. Well, everything's not going my way. God still loves you. He's still for you. He may just trying to be teaching you something. Who knows? Say, God, for me? Yes, He's for you. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. There's God and us in the same verse. God in us. God's for you. The Holy Spirit's for you. And I can tell you this, that low down, belly crawling, knee knock, freckle face, wart nose, rascal of the devil, he ain't for you. He ain't for your kids. He ain't for your family. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to destroy your kids. He ain't for you. God's for you. It's what Albert Einstein says. I've never been anywhere close to Albert Einstein. But this is what he said. He said there are 26 octillion stars in the universe. Now, I don't know how he knows that. I don't know if he counted them. 26 octillion stars in the universe. Now, you say, how many is that? That's 26 followed by 27 zeros. You got 26, 27 zeros after that. You say, what is it? I guess it's octillions. I don't know. You couldn't live long enough to count all of them. But now 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41 says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Watch, for one star differeth from another star in glory. That's just 26 octillion. Ain't a one of them alike. I know you ain't supposed to say ain't in church. Ain't a one of them alike. None of them are alike. Now watch this. The Bible also says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means ain't a person in here alike. If you hadn't shouted all day, you ought to shout on that. I mean, just look across the room and say, thank the Lord. I mean, every time you go, these are your fingerprints. You know why they do fingerprints? Because every one of them is different.
Yeah, right.
How many people? I don't know. A bunch of people. Every one of them made different.
Yeah.
Now, why would God take time to make you different if He didn't want you to be special?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is God for me? He sure is. He's for you. Why? Because He loved you. And He may be stepping towards you today. Why? Because He loves you. Not all of them. There's nobody in here that's alike. Now let me say this. David said this. God's fingerprints. No. This is what he said. He said, the handwriting of God was upon me. God signed each and every one of you. When He created you, He signed it. You're special. You're different than anybody else. Now let me say this. I'm winding her down to the close. Do you think God would want any of His creation that He spent so much time coming down to this earth, got to go through the virgin to bypass sin, and then His Son go through what He did for on the cross of Calvary, died, beat Him beyond His mama didn't even recognize Him, beat Him beyond recognition, died, goes to the ground for 3 days, gets up, raises out of the grave, He's up there, all the stuff He went through. You think that God would want any of His creation to go to hell? I want you to remember this. God is with no one in hell. God is not in no one in hell. God is not for anyone in hell. 1 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. St. John writing on the Isle of Patmos, he said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Say, preacher, what's Christmas all about? Christmas is all about God with us. God stepping towards you. Because He loved you. And He wants to be in you. And He wants to give you eternal life. Hallelujah. Because why? He's for you. He's for you. And He wants to see you saved and go to heaven. Heavenly Father, thank You.